This chapter 2. Today we're going to be studying verses 21 to 23, but I'm going to start reading back in verse 15. Genesis 2, and I'm going to start in verse 15, but we'll be studying 21 to 23. I got to get rid of this. Let's get rid of this. Okay, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. That was its name. Yes, thank you. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Well, Father, we do thank you for the time in your word this morning. We just pray that as we come to the truths of your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would direct us, that you would guide us, that you would strengthen us in this time, Father, that your word would sink deep into us and just uplift us, Father, and show us the way you'd have for us to go. We thank you for what you're going to do in this time. We just give you the glory in it now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard that saying, blood is thicker than water? What does it mean to you?
Than
non-family. Yeah, okay. You know, that saying, blood is thicker than water, is an ancient famous English proverb that has the meaning that familiar bonds are always stronger than the bonds of friendship or love. The oldest record of that saying trails back to the 12th century, and it was in German. But do you know that saying can even be tracked down into the Roman days with the Middle Eastern cultures who made blood covenants with each other, and they considered those blood covenants unbreakable? Geez, that sounds familiar. You know, as we've been studying through the first parts of the book of Genesis, we have noticed that, and if you've been listening, you've noticed that I have been teaching against evolution and all of that stuff. Well, as we come to this passage today, one of the greatest stumbling blocks for theistic evolutionists, now who knows what a theistic evolutionist is?
You do.
A good answer. Well, I knew Michelle might, and Justin might.
Yeah, I do.
A theistic evolutionist is a supposed believer who believes in evolution. Okay? They're people who call themselves Christian, but they believe in evolution. See, the thing of the stumbling block that's found in the book of Genesis, especially here in this passage, is the forming of Eve. They can manipulate the facts to try to fit their theory into them in many of the other places here, but even if they're convinced that God's word, that mankind evolved from, that God's word says Eve is a special creation of his, but man's word says man evolved from ape-like creatures, even if they believe man's word over God's word, there is no way that they can fit Eve's creation into an evolutionary model. It just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Because they have nothing to say, well, she evolved from, well, no, that doesn't work either, because it doesn't fit here. And then you add to this fact that the New Testament confirms the historical record of Genesis. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:13, "Adam was formed first, then Eve, as well as in 1 Corinthians 11:8, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. See, all of these things added together come against their argument for evolution. Now, after Eve, all other men and women were born of woman. But Eve, the first woman, came from man. Do you ever hear that saying, why reinvent the wheel? What does it mean? Come on, help me out. If it works, don't fix it. That's another saying.
Don't do things over again that have already been done.
And work.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I want you to think about this. If you or I were the ones creating a new race of beings, would you do it the way God did it? Or would you have said, you know what? We formed all the beasts of the field out of the dust of the ground, as it says back there in, what verse is it? Verse 19, it says, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air, including Adam, right? You just say, well, hey, why reinvent the wheel? You know, let's just make woman out of the dust of the ground too. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? But God didn't do that. God didn't do that. Instead, God built, the Hebrew word here for to make or made is the word bana, B-A-N-A-H, which is more often translated as built or build than any other way. So God built Eve's body from Adam's body. His life became her life. Okay? Is God trapped within time? Okay, how would you explain that to someone? Is God trapped within time? I had one head shake, no. Okay, what does that mean? God lives outside of time. Okay, so how would you explain that? Anybody have photo albums of your kids growing up? Okay. You know, you have them when they're a little baby and you have them when they're 30 years old. And you say, this is part of your life. And you can flip into the middle of that book and say, oh, you remember that time? See, that's being outside of time. God can look at all of creation from outside of time. He looks at the beginning and at the end all at once. And he can flip through the pages of time and say, oh, that, yeah, there you are, right there, right where I put you. Okay, so God lives outside of time. So, thinking of that, keep that in the back of your mind. God would have had good reason to build Eve the way he did. And if you think about the New Testament and the spiritual truths that it teaches about the symbolic relationship of a man and a woman and their oneness, and how that oneness is supposed to reflect the oneness that we have with God through Christ. That unity, okay? Then, just as Adam and Eve were connected physically, so too the man should love his wife as his own body. See, this gives all new meaning to that passage out of Ephesians where it talks about husbands and wives, where the husband should, in Ephesians 5:28, says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Boy, couldn't Adam say that? This is part of me standing here. This is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. She is one with me. How many of us think of our relationships like that? So we're connected with Christ who loves us as his own body. Just as Adam and Eve were connected physically to serve God in a unity of faith, so we are connected with our spouses along with all other believers, because who are we in Christ?
One body.
Huh?
One body.
One body, brothers and sisters. Yeah. So we're all connected together as believers to serve God in a unity and a singleness of mind and heart. So down in verse 21, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. See, what we learn here just before verse 21 is God had to make some points to Adam. He wanted Adam to understand what his responsibility was as ruler over the earth. He connected him with the animals. He had Adam look at all the animals that he was going to have regular contact with, give them names, and realize, wow, there's nobody like me. I'm all alone here. So I need a suitable helper. You know, a lot of people have tried to take that meaning of helper as demeaning. But do you know how many times in Scripture God is called our helper? Over and over again, we can find passages in the Scripture that God is called our helper. See, Eve was not supposed to be one who was just partnered with Adam for him to push around and use however he wanted. Gee, does anybody here treat God like a bellboy? Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. Oh, that song, "Oh Lord, you want you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? You know? Don't we, a lot of us, treat God like that at times? But see, that's not what God had in mind here. God had in mind one who would be partnered with Adam, be responsible before God for her own actions, just as he was for his own actions, but working together with him. Anybody ever have a surgery? Did the doc just kind of take you from the examination and say, oh, you got to have surgery, wheel you straight into surgery and cut you open and that was it? It's rare that it happens, but it does happen once in a while. What usually happens?
You have to be scheduled.
Alright, and what does he explain to you about the surgery?
You might die.
They do. Yeah, they do.
Well, that's one of, yeah, they all have to make that clear. You might die in this, but
that's a disclaimer.
Don't they? Yeah, this is a good, yeah. Don't they all try to explain to you what they're going to do? What the procedure would involve?
If they're a good doctor, they do.
If they're a good doctor. Gee, we have a good God.
Amen.
Yeah, do you think God would have just taken Adam and said, okay, Adam, you're asleep, here we go. He would have explained to Adam what was going to happen to him in order to build the woman. So God puts Adam into this deep sleep, think of it, almost a death-like sleep, and performs this marvelous surgical operation on Adam. What a wonder that must have been. Could you imagine the angel standing around watching that going, oh wow, that is so cool. Are there questions you want to ask God when you get to heaven? Yeah, I think, you know, some of us are shaking our heads no, most of us are shaking our heads yes. I think we all have some questions that we'd like to ask him when we get there, even though we'll know most of it then. You know, why put Adam into a deep sleep? You know, we don't know, because up to this point in creation, there's been no pain and no suffering in the world. I mean, couldn't God have gone, taken Adam's side out, replaced it right there, and then built Eve with Adam still awake? Yeah, he could have done that, but there was some reason, some great meaning here, which we can only speculate on. Or maybe it was just for Adam, maybe Adam didn't like blood. I don't know if he'd seen any yet. You know, we don't know. We don't really know. But there are some symbolic meanings here. Think about it. It's as if Adam almost died in order to obtain a bride, someone to share his life with in that deep sleep. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." You know, is there symbolic meaning here that God wanted to get across to us? It's translated here that God took one of Adam's ribs to build Eve. The word that's used in the Hebrew for rib is really that is used in Hebrew, where they put rib here in this translation, is really not a good translation. The Hebrew word is tsela, T-S-E-L-A, and it's translated more often as side than as rib. In fact, if you look in some of your Bibles, you'll notice a footnote, and it'll say part of the man's side. Okay? Because that's really a better translation for it. It would make more sense that God would take a large piece of Adam, his flesh and bone, to build a suitable helper for him. And the importance of the fact that she was taken from his side is great, and we can't miss it. She wasn't taken from his head, suggesting that she was superior to him. That would come when sin fell, by the way, when sin came along, that she would desire over to rule over her husband. Nor was she taken from his feet to suggest that she was inferior to him. But she was taken from his side, indicating equality and companionship. A unique significance. In fact, long ago, Matthew Henry, and I'm sure some of you have seen his commentary, it was way back in the 15, 1600s, I think, he wrote his commentary. He wrote this. He says, "She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved." So if God took one of Adam's sides, not his rib, Adam could truly say, "She was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." What do bones do? Support us?
Protect our organs.
Yep. Okay, I'll tell you what Wikipedia says. Three main functions of the skeletal system. Mechanical. They shape and support our body. They're protective. The bones that protect internal organs, like the skull protects the brain, and the rib cage protects the lungs and the heart. Metabolically, bones produce blood cells from its marrows. And the marrow even stores energy. So bones play a significant part of our body. What does flesh do? Gives us beautiful looks. Flesh also protects the delicate organs within it, and it hosts much of the circulatory system which the blood flows through. If you cut yourself, what happens? You bleed. Yeah. See, the human body is a marvelous thing. The life of the body is in the blood which the circulatory system carries throughout the body. This is why the blood is so important to God. Turn over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. Noah has just come off the ark, and they're getting settled out. And God has given Noah some commands here, things he needs to remember, and some things that are very important to God. So in Genesis chapter 9, beginning of verse 4, God says, "But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man this his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he has made man. So God says, "I've made you in my image. Protect that. Watch over that. And if you shed man's blood, by man your blood." See, God was giving a command here, in a sense, to form government that would make sure justice was served when something went awry. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of a creature is in its blood." And God says, "I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Hebrews 9:22 says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything will be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." See, through all this, we're again reminded of the one who was pierced in his side for our transgressions, so that his blood flowed when he entered into the deep sleep of death, when he was pierced by that Roman soldier. In John chapter 19, John records what happens in that time. In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 31, it says, "Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus with his spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. So the side seems to be a very important symbolic thing here in God's word, that when Adam has Eve taken from his side, so that from his flesh and blood there would be relationship. See, the lifeblood of Adam that sustained his flesh and bones, God built Eve as his bride. Just as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior through his shed blood for our redemption, we become his bride and we receive new life. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ. And Jesus says in John 6:54-56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. You see, he's talking about when we celebrate communion together, that we're celebrating what he did for us on the cross, that he gave up his flesh and his blood for us to have new life. And then through that, we become members of his body by faith. By faith in his flesh and his blood given up for us. Ephesians 5:30 says, for we are members of his body. See, Eve was built from Adam's side to work alongside him so that both he and her would be obedient together to God's command and commission to fill the earth and to subdue it, to rule over it, to be responsible for it. God gave Eve life from Adam's life so that they were connected physically. And he made them both in his image so that they would be connected spiritually as well. You know, when we enter into relationship with Christ through faith, we are united with him through the Spirit. Even though all of mankind inherits their physical and mental characteristics by genetic transmission, each of us can only receive our eternal spirit directly from God so that we can have fellowship with him. Even though someone would say, oh, you look like your mom, or you look like your dad, or you sound like your mom, or you sound like your dad, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree and all that stuff. You know, all that stuff is on the physical basis, but on the spiritual basis, we have to have the Holy Spirit from God in us. And we can only have that if we receive what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You see, we can get our physical features and our physical characteristics from our parents or relatives or whatever the genetic code dumps down into us, but we can only get our spirit from God. Zechariah 12 verse 1 says, the Lord who stretches out the heaven, who lays the foundations of the earth, who forms the spirit of man within him. See, that comes from God. Then when we die, our spirit returns to God, either for judgment or for reward. It's up to us and what we choose here in this lifetime. Solomon writes about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says, remember him, God, before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from which it came. See, he's talking about death. Remember God before we die. And then the Spirit returns to God who gave it. He finishes that way. See, we can only get our spirit and our connection with God from Him. So that day when Adam awoke from his sleep, God had finished building Eve and He brought her to Him to be with Him from that time forward. Just as when we come to Jesus in faith, we become His bride to be with Him forever. Paul writes about that in 1 Thessalonians. Find it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For the Lord God Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." You see, the symbolism of God creating Eve from Adam's side is there throughout the Scriptures if we go looking for it. That, you know, we can read about this account of God building Eve from Adam as a helpmate from his flesh and blood. And to see that symbolism and how it reflects to us that yes, blood is thicker than water, because through the blood and flesh of Christ, we came into that relationship that we should have forever with Christ. That God has made a way for us back into the relationship with Him. Problem is, we need to take God at His word for it. And we need to go forward in faith to believe it. Just as we have to take the word of by faith for the account of creation and the making of man and woman in the image of God, we have to say, whose word has authority in my life? Is it God's word or is it man's word that has authority over my life? How we choose will make a difference for eternity. Those theistic evolutionists are going to be very disappointed one day when they stand before God and He says, "You blew it. You had it all wrong. Yes, you may have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's what got you here, but you missed the whole point from the beginning. You missed the whole point from the beginning. That His word is truth. His truth takes authority over every area of our lives, and it's in that authority we need to live and walk. And boy, what a blessing there'll be when we walk in it. We will rejoice as Adam rejoiced when he saw Eve. We will rejoice together when we stand before Christ and say, "Yes, thank you, Jesus, that I made it here." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace that you pour out to us. We thank you for so much of the symbolism that you've given us through Scripture, Father, of how you've done things and how they relate to the New Testament and the importance of these things to you. And we thank you, Father, that these weren't things that happened by happenstance, but happened because you directed them to happen that way. That you stood outside of time and put each one in place as they should be before they even happened. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for calling us to be your people, that we might be one with you in Christ, that we might celebrate that oneness and know that we will carry it on into eternity with you forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.